B-Pod Studios.
Simply the greatest NFL player to ever play the game. That's my opinion. That's a lot of people's opinion. It's a pleasure to have him on the phone, Jim Brown. Hi, Jim.
Hi, folks. How are you today?
Doing good. Thank you so much. You know, we've tried for so long to get you on the show, and when I got word today that you were coming on, I'm telling you, I couldn't be happier.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you.
I want to talk about Cleveland, the Browns. But now, do you, as a former Cleveland Brown, do you look at that new team as the Cleveland Browns, or is it always in the back of your head the lineage goes down to Baltimore, where that football team is?
No, the only thing that went to Baltimore were some players and an owner. And you have players that change teams, you know, through the years and so forth. The key to Cleveland is that we're able to keep the name and the colors.
Yeah.
I know in the past on Sundays that you were a familiar face on the Brown sideline. Will you be there next year?
I haven't talked with Common Policy yet at all. So if he calls me and talks to me, I'll do anything I can do to help them develop a good franchise.
Okay.
But I'm not looking for a job.
All right, Jim. They throw you a football, a helmet, and say, get out there. Can you do it?
No, I can't do it.
I remember, but tell me about this story, though. I remember it had to be about 10 or 12 years ago. You were talking to the Oakland Raiders. You were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and there was a lot of rumor going around that you were going to give it another try.
Well, what happened was I was doing a talk show like you guys are doing, you know, maybe not as good, but I was doing a talk show in Vegas, and the thing came up about Franco getting to my record. And I said, well, you know, if you're going to run out of bounds and if you're going to crawl and creep to a record, then I'll come back, play three or four series, crawl and creep, run out of bounds, and re-break the record. And they took me seriously. And when they took me seriously, it became a discussion all over the country. So what I had said, you know, said to them to go along with the doggone joke is that if I came back, I'd have to be a Raider because that's where they have all the bad boys.
That's right.
And Al and I are good friends. So, you know, he gave me a helmet and a jersey, and I got on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a Raider outfit.
But you ain't going to tell me, knowing Al Davis, and you know him better than anybody, there were some closed-door meetings, and come on, Jim, try it. Go ahead.
No, Al and I were laughing. You know, in fact, that was the time they went to the Super Bowl down in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
And I rode down on the plane with the team and, you know, the cheerleaders and everybody. And we had a great time. But, you know, old guys don't come back in football. You know, they might do it in baseball or some other thing. You don't come back. You enjoy it. I played 9 years. I quit MVP of the league. I was 29 years old. We played for the championship my last 2 years. We won it 1 year. So I was very satisfied. I just went along with the situation and created a lot of interest.
When you left the NFL in 1965 as a player, as you said, at the age of 29, after only 9 seasons, I don't think you missed a game.
I never missed a game.
You never missed a game. Was it the movie career that caused you to leave the game? Did you want to leave on top? Did you say to yourself, maybe I did have 3 or 4 more seasons left in me? Why did you leave then?
I played 9 years. I had a great career. I had a college degree. You know, I graduated in 4 years.
Sure.
I had an offer to go into the movies, and I had done my thing. And I definitely wanted to leave on top. I didn't want to be talking to you today and you asking me about, you know, how many teams I played with and what happened when my knee was bad and when I was second string and overweight. I didn't want that. I wanted to have you remember me as a striker of the ball. You know, and I could always say that you can't tell me how many more years I could have played. And if I was MVP and 29 years old, I don't have to say anything else, right?
That's right. It
speaks for
itself.
So life has so many avenues to travel down, and I've always been an activist. And at that time, by going into the movies as a African-American, I was able to create, you know, some things that had never been done before and also created an organization that dealt with minority businesses. So
that's right.
I've always dealt with, you know, living on a full scale and doing a lot of things that we have the right to do and the freedom to do in this country.
Have you met Barry Sanders' daddy?
Absolutely.
Have you read the ESPN magazine article this past week?
No, I haven't read the article.
There was an interview with Barry Sanders in there, and the interviewer was asking him, what does your father think of you, and do you have the respect of your father? And his reply is, my father keeps telling me I ain't no Jim Brown.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. You know, I met Mr. and Mrs. Sanders. They came and visited me at my home. And it was a tremendous evening because there was so much respect and so much love. And we really laughed about the situation because he had followed me as a fan, knew a lot about me. He was a very bright man who studied the running styles and the performances, and he truly felt I was the best player. But it was not a matter of him putting me against Barry because we discussed Barry in very beautiful terms, his talent, how the following last year he'd gotten faster. We talked about his childhood. We talked about the family being very close, 11 children, him and his wife. And we agreed that one day we would get on the air together, and instead of talking about who was the best, we'd talk about family values and all the things that Barry represent as a very outstanding young man as well as a great, great player. So we did do that on ESPN on Classic Sports Network. We had a chance to go on the air together, and we made those kind of points because those points are much more valuable than trying to say one guy is greater than the other.
Yeah, but
if I might make a point to you and your listeners, and I say this out of sincerity and intellect, in America, it is always who is the best. That eliminates so many people and so much greatness. Those of us who have run the ball, whenever we get together, we never discuss who's the best. It really makes no difference. We feel great that all of us were able to do things that have been great. Mm-hmm. And when we look at each other like that, it's a great feeling because if you have a six or seven of us in a room, you know, it's a wonderful feeling. It's like a fraternity. But unfortunately, the public, you know, and the commercial aspect of it is always who is number one. And in life, when I work with the kids, it isn't a matter of being number one. It's a matter of being the best you can be and a matter of dealing with the circumstances that you're in a positive way. Because everybody play under different circumstances and different times. So we have to take that view of the situation. But, of course, you know, you all want a definitive answer all the time, and I can understand it because that's the nature of, you know, writing and, you know, discussing individuals.
Sure. But you know what?
But it's the same thing, though. A lot of people have that with their dad. No matter what you do, there's always that one thing that, well, back in my day.
That's right.
Well, if you look at Mr. Sanders, he will tell it. I mean, he is a very different kind of guy. He didn't believe it. He wouldn't say it.
That's true. But, you know, but Jim, it's the same thing. I can't tell you growing up and my old man telling me, you know, I was, you know, had my favorite football players growing up and who I thought was the best. And my old man always used to tell me, you never saw Jim Brown play. That guy could carry three people with him and still make 10 yards.
Well, I do appreciate that. And there is a thing about growing up with someone when someone's young. And sometimes you're in the stands with your father or your mother, and you enjoy a running back, and that remains in your memory forever. You know, so I have a great appreciation of the American public that when I meet them out there, they share, you know, those historical moments with me. And so I think that's very, very, you know, healthy in that sense. But also I think that you have a game now where you have tremendously talented individuals. But there's so many specialists, there's so much technology, there's so many techniques and things, until you miss sometimes the essence of just hard-nosed, straight-out football, you know. And, you know, I have a problem today sometimes watching a running back get tired and raising his hands and going out of the game. If we'd done that with Paul Brown, he'd bench you for 5 games.
You know? I bet he would.
See, we played the game for the game. The money was light. We loved it. We'd have played for nothing.
What was the most you ever made in 1 year?
I made about $80,000.
That, by today's standards,
that doesn't
is not,
make the
that's,
minimum.
That's not even like the yeah. It's not even the minimum now.
No, that would be nothing today.
Yeah, Jim, I want to thank you so much for spending a little time with us and chatting with us. You got a new movie in the works or anything?
Well, I tell you, we're going to be coming to Florida in January. Oliver Stone is doing a film call on Any Given Sunday.
Right.
And I'll be in that film. I'll play a defensive coordinator. Al Pacino is a star. Dennis Quaid is one of the stars.
Wow.
And it will be a dynamite cast. You know, Al Pacino is one of the greatest actors that ever lived. So I'm looking forward to it. I've had 3 meetings with them, and we've discussed a lot of things. It's going to be very authentic and very exciting, very revealing, too.
Yeah, well, from what I've heard of it, it sounds like it's got the potential to be a great one.
And, and hell, if you're in Florida at that point in time, come on by and stay. Say hi. You can stay at my place. I got a futon that I'll roll out for you. You can stay there.
Well, get me a golf course and I'll do it.
You got it,
those,
Jim.
Those we got.
We got those.
I know. You got some great ones. I played Doral the other day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Really beautiful.
Jim, thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The greatest, Jim Brown.
Hey, it's Dan and Haney on K-Rock.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Stan and Haney show. My name is Stan, there's Roger.
Good afternoon, Stan.
How was your weekend? I know you you had a busy weekend.
It was busy and it was fun.
You went to
Rockstar Harley Davidson, did you see any chicks in bikinis while you were over there?
Oh, did I? There was some good competition there.
Right. Some nice, as we used to say back in the day, some nice talent.
Great talent for the show. Yes.
Great talent.
The talent was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty. We had three rounds of the bikini contest.
I hope you weren't a judge.
No.
I hope you were to keep you not judging.
I heard Maria got to be a judge when she went, but nobody asked me to be a judge.
Good. Let me explain something to you. It does not do you any good to be a judge. Don't ever be a judge. You can be an MC of something. You can host something. You can coordinate something. Do not judge. Because in judging, you will make one person happy, and however else in there, if there are 20 other people, you'd make them mad at you.
That's true.
And you make their friends mad at you because you didn't pick their gal or, you know, the one that they thought had the most talent. The only one you made happy was the one that won.
That's true. So you're kind of setting yourself up to fail as a judge.
As I learned, that's why I'm radio's Mr. Wonderful, radio's good guy, is you want to be everybody's friend.
Right.
You, 21 girls in that thing, you're a judge, you're friends with one, and 20 of them don't give a rat's ass, and their boyfriends don't like you either.
Well, you know.
So don't ever be a judge. Now, Maria, she's a girl. She can be a judge.
That's true. There was one girl and two guys judging, and yeah, I guess I don't. All you get out of it is like the best view, and like you said, you're only like helping one person.
You're there to help. You get as close of a view as you want. If you were hosting, you could get right up on stage with the microphone and bring the lovely lady right over to the judges. Meanwhile, you're standing right next to her. Judges, what do you think of this beauty? I'll tell you right now, I'm standing right next to her, and she smells good. That's what you do. Then everybody loves you. Everybody loves you. And in that case, even a judge that didn't like you personally likes you because you brought the girls closer to him.
What if the winner would, like, go out with me or something?
That's dirty.
Like, that's dirty judging.
That's dirty judging.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't do that.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
What that is that's a
creepy
a creep factor.
Old man dirty
yes.
judging.
Yep.
I'm not that guy, no.
And then you went and saw Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, Raymond James Stadium.
Good for you. I wouldn't personally go see him, but you told me the Raymond James, not an arena, a stadium for this
Ed Sheeran packed out.
Carrot Top here.
Yeah.
Packed.
Packed out, weird looking redhead dude, and man, he rocked it too. I was impressed.
Good.
I was impressed.
Yeah,
it wasn't
weekend.
My idea to go, but it was fun.
I didn't expect it to be your idea, and I don't want to even dig a little further because then I'm going to get a little edgy because then I'm liable to put the kibosh on whatever you got working.
Nothing.
But you didn't. You had no decision in that. You just went along with it.
Good times.
Yeah, I bet it was. Sure, I'm sure it was. I just want to thank the gang and specifically Dan from Firehouse Subs.
Yeah, how was your remote?
I was there on Saturday at their new location in Cape Coral. And Dan and the gang there are great. Met some nice people. And thanks so much. And then on Sunday, and I won't delve too much into this, I played golf.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it is the first time that I have played golf since my heart attack.
Oh.
Because I was, you know, you're perfectly fine. Go out and play. Well, I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go out and play. And I played reasonably well.
Okay.
And, you know, usually when I'm out there, I'm like John Daly. I'm chain smoking.
That's right.
First time I've played a round of golf in 30 years where I didn't smoke.
And did it feel better?
Oh, no.
Was it hard? The urge
to have one. I'm not, but right. The urge was there. It was like as you're waiting to get to the next tee or you're waiting for people to finish up on the green, you know, my brain tells me, wouldn't this be a nice time for a smoke?
That's when it's the hardest, when you were like trained to do it before, like after meals and golf courses and whatnot.
But I didn't.
Good for you,
and,
man.
Now, you know, say, oh, Stan, you're playing golf, and I'm 61, haven't played in since November. I'm sore.
Yeah?
I used muscles yesterday that I haven't used in a long time.
That's right. It's been six months.
And, you know, normally I would say, oh, Stan, we'll take a couple of Advil. Can't because of the medication that I'm on for my heart attack. You can't take the Advil.
Oh, so you're screwed with your
aching. They say take Tylenol, but I'll tell you something. That does nothing.
No.
That does nothing for me.
You need that extra ingredient.
Yeah. I need barbiturates. No, I don't. We're going to take a break.
Let me call somebody.
I know you got a number right from rehab. We'll be back. Grab bag. Stan and Haney Show.
And welcome to the stage. Big round of applause.
Stan and Haney.
Yes!
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. My name is Stan. I'd appreciate it if you'd get here on time.
Okay.
Right. I know. Yeah. there is some behind the scenes stuff. Haney was here. It's just we couldn't talk about it. He's here now. Everybody sent a big howdy do for you. I know. Sent a big howdy do to you over at Firehouse Subs.
Oh.
I got a wonderful email. There was a woman that came by. She's a fan of the show, emails us all the time, mm-hmm. and came by to say hi. Her name's Kathy.
Yeah.
And she sent an email today, especially for you. So during the email segment, I'll read the letter, and it is beautiful. She loves you.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes. It's the truth. Let's do the grab bag brought to you by. What? Everything's fine. Everything's good.
All right.
And I'm going to read the letter as she wrote it. It's a nice letter.
Okay.
And she's a nice lady. She's married.
Oh.
Yes. So don't go sniffing around. All right. Just. So she's just a nice lady. I took a picture with her too.
Oh, yeah, really?
She sent the picture. I'll show you the picture if you want later.
Show me.
Yeah, but I'm not going to show you now.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what's going on in the world. What is that? Hold it. What was that? Hold on. I hit something.
Sounded like seagulls or something.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Oh no! Hold it. It jumped a cut. Hold on. I didn't want it there. Hold on.
Why did you?
It did it by itself.
Hold
on. Okay, let's see what's going on.
This is not headline news.
Ta-da.
Bud Light unveiled a camouflage bottle. The idea is that by blending it into the woods, it'll be harder for Kid Rock to shoot it. Today is World Goth Day. Goths everywhere are refusing to celebrate because nothing matters, life is meaningless, and we all die alone. Morrissey turned 64 today. His fans all wish him a sullen and totally depressing birthday. And Paul Simon is suffering partial hearing loss.
What?
Before too long, he'll only hear...
Aw, that's...
Simon.
That is so cheap.
This is not headline news.
That one wrote itself.
Let me ask you, did you go through a goth period in your life?
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he might
never,
have.
Never.
Never?
Once.
Never.
Really?
Not even for a moment.
All right.
I mean, I don't know exactly
something
what music
me.
Is considered goth. I don't know if I even
no,
like
No, I don't know. Something tells wait, me wait, at wait. Some point in your life you wore a lot of black, including like black eyeliner
yeah.
and stuff.
No. Never yeah. eyeliner.
Well, you're here now. Well,
I'm wearing black now.
You are.
But only because it's slimming.
Okay.
Oh.
I hear you.
I hear you. Yeah.
Oh. That noise that we heard because I had it on the wrong cut?
Yeah.
You'll like this, Haney. A cockatiel beatboxing.
Oh, God.
Here you go. This is a cockatiel. You know, they're not a parrot. They're halfway between a parakeet and a parrot. They're not in between.
No.
But it, you can train it to do things like this. All right, that's about enough. That's enough. Thank you. It was all right.
Okay.
All we need is a little somebody to drop some fat rhymes over that. And it would
right,
be
Adam. We'll wait till Junior gets here.
Oh, yeah.
And then he can bust it.
Mixer do.
We remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
right. Yeah, save that. And then we'll make him do it.
All right.
We know that sometimes, we know here in the Southwest Florida area, that sometimes when a local person goes to work for the government, they sometimes slip up and make mistakes, whether it's booze or drugs or... You know, it just dawned on you.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it happened. It's happened. It happens. Take a Rhode Island councilman and realize no matter who you are, the body cam is always on. It's now required. You know what? Cops used to be able to go and do their job. Now it all has to be filmed, and sometimes you don't want things to be filmed.
Codeine.
A Rhode Island councilman was arrested after police found him sleeping in his car with cocaine and fentanyl.
Yep.
Called it.
Here is the body cam footage from the arresting officer in Cranston, Rhode Island, with the Cranston City Councilman. What a tangled web we weave.
You've taken in some fentanyl, Matt, and that's you know, we've got to make sure you may not feel it right now, but God forbid something happens to you.
Yeah,
we feel terrible about that, you know? I mean, there's... More drugs on the seat.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
This, I love this.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man. More on the seat.
Oh, God.
Can anybody get a whisk broom and... There are, and I can understand this woman. It's a little over the top. I have a problem sometime with varmints, raccoons, rats.
Oh, and, rats!
Yeah, and possums. Possums. And they got a filthy mouth. They don't want them to bite you. There.
No.
They got
no,
that tail
no,
like they, a rat. No, those big eyes.
No.
Dateline. Arkansas. Listen to this woman. She says that she is leaving her house after finding several possums inside during the day because they're nocturnal. They like to go out, but during the day, they got to come inside
where
they feel safe. This woman's name, hold on.
Lucrita.
Hold on. No, no. Not kind of. Hold on. Zakia Brown.
Okay.
That's Z-A-K-K-I-Y-Y-I-A-H.
Ooh.
Zakia.
That's way too many letters.
Brown.
Yeah. Zakia.
Here she is talking about them possums in her house.
Early this morning, my kids was getting ready for school. My daughter went to go brush her teeth, and it was hanging out on the turret. Just hanging out there. We kind of like trapped him in. My 13-year-old son put gloves on and grabbed him by the tail. Because it's been more than the last two we caught in the morning time, right before the kids go to school in the bathroom. So it's just like, no, I got to go.
The possums are hanging out in the bathroom.
She's real calm about it.
So now
she wants to move.
Possum want to go.
Yes. Yes.
All right. What I'm about to describe to you is disturbing.
Now, I'm seriously just.
I'm serious. Yeah.
Listen.
Oh.
This is.
You're going to hear from her. And I saw her picture. She's attractive. Young, likes the makeup, but she's attractive.
But.
An Australian OnlyFans model claims that her number one fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, right? Okay, hold on. Take a listen to this for everybody. For everybody else to listen to, because this is disturbing.
Yep.
An Australian OnlyFans model. See, I'm glad Junior's not here yet because he'll want to go and look her up.
Yep.
And I would recommend against it.
No.
An Australian OnlyFans model claims that her number one fan, who spent thousands of dollars on her site, buying little underwears and little personal videos.
Underpants.
Yep. Was her stepfather?
No. Whoa.
Her mother found out what her husband was up to.
Oh.
With her daughter.
Oh.
And immediately filed for divorce. Take a listen. Here's the girl. Here's the girl explaining how she found out by accident. You know how Siri will go and say, "Oh, this is from one of your content." Well,
It was Daddy.
Here you go.
When I first started my website, I had this customer who was my number one customer. Bought every single thing that I sent him, and she also had a very specific username on the website. And I had someone view my TikTok page with the exact same username, and underneath that it said "from your contacts." I narrowed it down to six people, and one of them was my stepdad. I went with my gut feeling and I messaged the website account and I said, "I know who this is." And within 2 minutes, got a text from my stepdad saying, "Hey, Tay, can we talk?"
Creepy!
Hey.
Hey, baby.
Sir, sugar baby.
Hey, sugar baby. Hey. Hey, tight pant. Sick. Oh, it is so sick and disgusting.
Hold on. That mom is really. Yeah,
well, immediately filed for divorce.
Immediately.
Yes.
Well, come on.
What's the big deal? Yeah. You know, it's step.
We're not blood related. Come on.
We replayed our interview with the great Jim Brown. One of a few times that we had him on the air. Great individual.
All awesome.
Yes. Here, of course, as you know, he passed away last week. Natural causes.
He changed the game of football with his play.
Halfback Jimmy's first down, Brown picks up that and then some as he breaks loose on a spine-tingling open-field gallop.
Considered by most experts as the greatest fullback ever to play the game, Jimmy's harder to bring down than a wild steer.
He redefined the limits of what a black man could be in America. Through his strength, his power, and his courage, he never stopped looking for ways to make the country better for those of us who followed in his footsteps.
We have changed many, many lives. And as I stand here right now, our people can carry out the work. They don't need me. And when I leave here, they can still carry out the work and they don't need me.
Rest in power, Jim Brown. We'll keep doing the work in your name.
Wow.
Let me explain a little something about Jim Brown.
Wow.
Just so that you fully grasp how great he was.
Yes.
He played nine seasons. He played nine seasons.
Nine.
He won eight league rushing titles.
Mm-hmm.
Nine seasons, eight league rushing titles, three-time MVP in 9 years. And in those 9 years, and this was 50s and 60s football, he never missed a game due to injury. He played every single game and was MVP the final year of his playing career.
Wow.
And he said, that's it. He was incredible. Do you know, and I'm and NFL films will show this once in a while. The last NFL game he ever played was not in a Cleveland Browns uniform. He knew he was going to retire. He knew it was the end, but played in the Pro Bowl game as his last game that he ever played in the National Football League. That's... he was a champion.
Wow.
Here is another bizarre thing, and I'm going to play this for you because I watched it and could not believe what I saw. The PGA Championship was played over the weekend, and Brooks Koepka won. He got, I think it's his third PGA Championship. Fifth major. But the star of the PGA Championship was a guy by the name of Michael Block. Now, who's Michael Block? He's a club pro out in California. The way the PGA Championship goes is if you hold your PGA card, anybody can try to qualify to play in the PGA Championship. You have the PGA Touring Pros. They've got their touring card. You've got people that have the PGA teaching card. They're teachers and instructors. And then you have the PGA Club Pros. That's the pro that's out at your country club. He'll do the lessons for you. He's in the pro shop. He, you know, he's a good golfer, but he's a club pro. So Michael Block says, what the hell? I'm going to go and try to qualify for the PGA Championship. He does. And he qualifies. And he gets into the field for the PGA Championship. That is incredible enough. He also finished 15th out of all the pros, was playing with Rory McIlroy on the final day, finished 15th by parring the last two holes, which qualifies him to play in next year's PGA Championship with having to do nothing. He's automatically in the field. He got invited to play in Colonial next week and take one of the exemptions there. And, oh, did I mention that during the tournament yesterday, as a dream was coming true, he qualified and now is exempt from qualifying. He's automatically in next year's PGA. He also had a hole-in-one at the PGA Championship, and it was not a bouncing, roll-in hole-in-one.
Yeah.
It went in the hole on the fly.
We can dial this trajectory right.
He looks very good. Has he got the distance right?
Oh! Are you kidding me? A slam dunk!
I appreciate you making me cry.
Yeah.
I'm living a dream. I'm making sure that I enjoy this moment. I've learned that after my 46 years of life. It's not going to get better than this. There's no way. No chance in hell. And cheers to the 29,000 PGA Tour professionals, PGA professionals in the world. This is for you guys. Thank you.
His son was back at his home club setting up a video of the bar packed with people going nuts. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. We're going to open up the phone lines. I got the local beat. I know Raj has a little something in Roger's Entertainment Corner. The local beat. Coyotes coming back.
God.
Cape Coral. And people saying there was one coyote last week that wouldn't leave.
What?
Oh, I got the story.
No. Ooh, yeah.
And where they said, if you thought for a second, you could go up and pet it.
What?
Oh. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney show. What's today's day? Oh, it's Monday. I forgot, okay? Let me, before we get things started... Junior's here. Oh,
what?
What did you have?
Do you want to get on?
What are you doing?
No,
what are you doing?
I'm just, you?
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Before I get started, him.
Oh God.
Okay, let me. And I am just going to go.
You're not going to bring up what I just brought up to you.
You know what? No, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know what? I'm going to break your arm.
It's nice to see you too, man.
Let me explain something to you. I have been doing this for a while. I have been doing this long before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
If you think what we were discussing is something that I want to bring up on the air and have a discussion with, and you're hand-wringing and worried about that, leave me alone.
What?
I'm on edge, dude. I'm sorry.
I can't tell. He can go and tell you about that afterwards. But
yeah,
just,
I can tell you.
But what, I can, talk about, because I witnessed it, and other people were in complete disgust.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about Saturday.
Oh, so you automatically know what I'm going to be talking about, don't you? You automatically know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hold on. Rog, well, you got to hear this.
Hey,
he came to see me on Saturday at Fire.
God.
That was okay, nice of you. Yeah, it was nice of me. Thank you, Rog. You're welcome.
Oh, I didn't need you there. It would have saved a lot of headaches.
Oh, God.
So he shows up. Now, the first thing that he says to me is, where do I go to get a free sub?
What? What?
I made a guest appearance. I wanted a free sub.
So, I said, I'm not the owner of the place. Now, our salesperson, Don Holloman, is inside. I said, right, and that's the way he was the whole day. So he goes inside. Now, Junior knows Robert Holloman, but Robert Holloman does, because he doesn't pay attention. He's got the attention span of a gnat. He doesn't know that Junior has been with us for about 4 years now.
Going on five. Yeah.
And so Junior walks into Firehouse Subs, walks up to Robert Holloman and says, I would like free food, please. Which is a bad thing to say to begin with. And then Robert, our salesperson, looks at him and says, who the F are you?
He had no clue who I was. I said, hey, man, it's me, Junior, from the Stan Haney Show.
So,
and he said, who?
So, I'm going to tell you.
He's.
So, follow me on this one. Because, all right, so Robert, our sales guy, gets with Dan from Firehouse, who was great, and gets Junior a big foot-long sub of his choice. Yeah. It was one of the big ones. And so as Junior comes out with his free sandwich, my wife, D-Train was there, his wife, his daughter, a few other listeners. He's doing very well. Thank you.
And Hollywood's treating him well.
And so they're all looking at this, and he's eating away.
Yeah.
And
that's what you do when you get food.
When the remote was over with, two people, I will not say who, one of them I live with, said to me, did Junior really come up to the remote and want free food? Because we're offered free food.
Yes.
But we said thank you, no.
Yes.
He took it. And so two people, one of whom I live with, said,
Sue,
I cohabitate.
Okay.
I've taken vows. said to me, did he really make them at Firehouse give him free food?
Yeah.
Or was that just a joke? I said, oh, no, that was no joke. He came expecting free food, and somebody was going to give him free food.
Yeah.
And one of the two people that I don't cohabitate with said, you've got to be kidding me. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh.
Oh, well. We vibrate at different frequencies, bro.
You hear this? Do you hear this?
Wow.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
You know what?
It was a long drive.
Because guess what?
I was hungry.
I'm speechless. That's all I can say.
You're speechless, but you keep talking.
I'm speechless.
All right.
Now, about you over the weekend, let me bring up what happened to him.
Do you want to
hear this? Don't worry. I'm not.
Hand wringing.
It's unbelievable. You're like a walking, it's like an albatross. It's like a monkey on my back. It's like a heroin addiction. You're just a monkey on my back.
Don't bring up addictions around, Rob.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Let's
don't tease a disease.
Can we do the local beat, please?
Well, because
I am so disgusted.
I'm so sorry.
I know you are, Haney.
Me too.
No, you're not. That's the thing. You're not.
No, I know.
The Coyotes. This This is a pretty cool story. Oh, scary one. We have done stories for years on the coyote population.
Yeah.
When you're out in your lanai at night, you can hear them howling.
Oh, all the time.
So you hear all the time, I took my little dog, watch out with your pets. This is what it's come to. This is from NBC2. Headline reads, coyote sighting in Cape Coral neighborhood. Okay, that kind of describes it, but not quite. A coyote was seen roaming around a Cape Coral neighborhood all day last Thursday. People who live off of Southwest 15th Place in Cape Coral say the coyote was walking up and down the street, lounging under palm trees on lawns, and hanging out in driveways.
Hey!
Yeah. They said that spotting coyotes in their neighborhood is nothing new, but this one was acting strange. It wasn't scared of them. And stayed out for hours in broad daylight.
No. Yeah. That's
Nicole Augustine, who's a resident. Well, there was a reason behind it. Now, I would think the rabies.
Yeah.
That was, they don't think so.
It was domesticated.
Why don't you shut up when I'm doing a story? Sorry.
Oh, dude.
Domesticated. There ain't no such thing as a domesticated coyote.
No.
I could domesticate.
You could domesticate to a degree a wolf, but they'll still take an arm if they get mad enough.
Yep.
A coyote, you can't domesticate a coyote. Yep.
Big old very wily.
Wily coyote. Thus the name. Wily E. Coyote. Yep.
Wow.
They're very wily.
Yep. Yeah. Why?
Thank you, Haney. So Nicole Augustine, who's a neighbor in the neighborhood, a person in the neighborhood, said it was almost like you could walk up to him and pet him, but he didn't seem scared of us. He just kept coming back. I went out back after letting the dog out and looked over, and there he was, staring at me through the fence.
See? Blah, blah.
Augustine said she eventually called FWC and asked them to come and check out the coyote. She was worried that it might have been sick. You know, they're rabies.
Yeah.
They carry it. The officer explained that the coyote was, and this is how he made sense of it, that the coyote was probably just lost. And he got lost during the night and just wanted to find his way back to his den. But he didn't want to do it in broad daylight. He wanted to wait until nighttime where he could travel freely. So he stayed in one area, sitting under the palm tree, lying in the driveway, going out back and staying around in the neighborhood. They thought that he was lost. I don't know about that. Something tells me they're just trying not to set it in a panic.
No,
that this thing could have been frothy at the mouth.
Rabid.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Rowdy.
That's right, Haney. Adam Brown from FWC says coyotes are more active in the summertime. He said you're going to start seeing them more frequently, and it's not that uncommon to have a coyote come onto your property or onto your backyard. Seeing them running down the road or something along those lines. They said, guess what? It's commonplace now. Adding, if you see a coyote and you happen to be walking your dog, make yourself big and loud. Speak loudly and firmly to that coyote.
Okay, how will...
Hey!
Yeah, kind of like that.
You
don't have to spread your arms out. You already look big to the coyote. If you have some kind of noisemaker, a whistle, or a homemade shaker, you can keep that with you.
Homemade shaker?
typically
like a maraca.
Yeah, yeah. Maraca. Yeah, like a maraca. Typically, coyotes are very wily and timid animals. They're all. You can't tame a coyote. They're wily.
Yeah,
they're wily. Yeah,
wily.
Thank you, Haney. but they scare easily, especially with loud noises, and that's really your best defense. So says the FWC in combating a coyote. Have a shaker with you or speak loud. That's your defense with these things. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Well,
you know it.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes. Do you have the bing, bing, ding, bing, 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 bing music
yes.
for Roger here so he can do his segment? I would reserve something for Junior, but I know he has nothing. Raj?
He always says he could come up with something.
Oh, I got something in my back pocket.
I'm sure.
Sure.
So, are you a night owl, would you say, Junior?
Yeah, you're a night owl. You're a night owl.
Really?
Not anymore.
Interesting. You're not a night owl.
You know what time I went to bed last night? 8:45.
Nice.
Oh,
and you don't even do
I'm tired.
No. You don't even do a morning show. That's just crazy.
I'm exhausted.
Haney, you're a night owl.
He likes to stay up. Many a night he's seen the sun come up.
I remember back in your history when you were moved once or twice.
Yeah.
From mornings or from afternoons to mornings.
Mornings were the worst time for him.
Oh, God.
Yes, because
when he was on time, it was because he was up all night.
Yep.
Haney was a night owl trying to become a morning person, and that's a tough thing. But I have tips. If this ever happens again, and hopefully it won't for Haney.
Oh, God.
It's not going to happen. The answer is no.
It's happened to me before. You know, being a night owl and all of a sudden.
Warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did work in the early days.
Yes. Up until recently.
Yeah.
We saved you.
Thank you for saving me. but when I started that and other jobs where I have to get up like in the middle of the night, the transition's tough. So I got four quick tips on how you can turn a night owl into a morning person, or at least make it a morning person.
If you can get it in 90 seconds.
You got it. Number one, put your phone down and turn off the TV. Don't do that stuff close to bedtime. Definitely not while you're in bed. Number two, only drink coffee in the morning. Avoid caffeine for at least 6 hours before bed.
I have a cup of coffee before I go to bed at 9.
Well, you've got a tolerance. Yeah.
That's true.
Number three, avoid long naps. If you want to limit it to like 30 minutes or something, that might be fine. But if you nap much longer than that, it's going to be hard for you to go to sleep. And number four, don't exercise in the evening. Too much physical activity
can keep you up. That one.
So morning or afternoon.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Number four is good. It's all good.
Right.
All right, so there you have it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me ask
so
you this.
War four.
Yeah, four. Yeah. No exercise. I can go with that.
Yeah.
When was the last time you exercised?
We're
going to take a break when we come back. Another edition of Stands I Wish I Didn't Know.
Oh, no.
And it's a good one.
Oh.
Chance to pick up some prizes. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
All women are crazy, except you, darling. That's right, just you. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, it's Stan and Haney Monday edition. About a half hour away from your first look at traffic, news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, hour away from the Wayback Machine. We're going to take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. We're going to go right smack dab in the middle of American Top 40, I think, starting with 20 through 16, and that'll be a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to give you a chance to win. Phones are on lockdown. I will release the phones momentarily, as we play Stan's I Wish I Didn't Know. We're going to give you the best 3 out of 5 to win a prize, and you even get 2 chances with each question. It's multiple choice. These are horrific questions. These are questions that, do you really want to know the truth? My answer is no, you don't, but you're going to. We're going to get as many people to play as possible, but each person best 3 out of 5. So you get 3 right, 5 chances to do it. You're going to win a prize. I'm going to tell you right now, prizes are limited this week. Because basically I go down the hallway and I say, I need prizes. And then they look at me like I smoke crack.
Yeah.
Like Cocaine Bear.
Cold Bane.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's what we have. We have Muddy Muscle tickets. Pick the game you want to go to. We have Stan and Haney Baba Coosaw and brand new, they're nice gray ones, Stan and Haney t-shirts. If you want to devalue them, we'll sign them for you in Sharpie. So we got t-shirts, we got Baba Coosaw, we've got Muddy Muscle tickets. Phone lines are released, 495-9696. Let's play Stan's I Wish I Didn't Know. Best 3 out of 5 will get it for you. 495-9696. Dun, dun. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, fellas, this is Hunter.
Hunter, you want to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hunter. Raj, we got bells and buzzers ready to go for Hunter. Oh, do I have you?
No need for the buzzers.
Oh, you think not, huh? All right, Hunter, let's find out. Best 3 out of 5, and I'll even give you 2 choices with each one. Here we go. When you swim in a chlorinated pool, your eyes start to get red, and it's not from the chlorine. A lot of people think it's the chlorine that makes your eyes red. When you swim in a chlorinated pool, your eyes start to get red from this being in the water. Is it A, urine, B, feces, C, sweat, or D, all of the above that makes your eyes burn in a chlorinated pool?
Well, I tell you what, I was a swimmer in college, so I'm going to go with all of the above.
And you'd be correct, Hunter. You'd be absolutely correct. One right.
Especially when I'm in the pool.
Why don't you shut up? You know what? You know, I'll bet you, you know, excuse me, Hunter, Junior's piping up again in a game here. Something tells me you were one of those kids that peed in a chlorinated pool.
Oh, I still do.
Well, I was trying to decide if I wanted to add that in. But
hold
it.
No, I wasn't talking to you, Hunter. I was talking to Junior. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to somebody else.
Yep.
Here we go, though, Hunter. Here we go. You got one right.
All right.
Listen carefully. Here's a drug side effect they don't mention in the commercials. A guy took an excessive amount of erectile dysfunction meds, and it left him with what? A stiff neck from not swallowing fast enough. B, a 24-hour erection. C, a 1-inch penis. Or D, a permanently disabled testicle. So what did it? Stiff neck, a 24-hour erection, a 1-inch penis, or a permanently disabled testicle?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go with the 24-hour erection.
Really? That is incorrect. You've got two more. You got one more shot at it before I give you a wrong answer. Stiff neck, 1-inch penis, permanently disabled testicle.
You know what? I'm going to go with the disabled testicle.
That'd be wrong. That's one wrong.
Oh.
Erectile dysfunction stuff caused his member to shrivel up 1-inch penis.
Huh.
Yeah.
Permanently?
Permanently, a permanent one-incher.
So that's
kind of like, yeah, that's how you live life, Junior.
Oh,
that's what happened. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Hunter, you got one right, one wrong. Here we go.
All right.
How old was Shigeo Tokuda, the world's oldest porn star, when he started performing? How old was Shigeo Tokuda when he started performing?
Yes.
Oldest porn star. How old was he when he started? 52, 70, 75, 104. Oldest porn star.
Oh, God. I'll go with the most ridiculous answer, 104.
That's incorrect. So you got 52, 70, or 75?
Well, I guess we'll go in the middle now, 70.
You're correct. He was 70.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
That's two right, one wrong. You know, you got one wrong. You were saying at the beginning of this we wouldn't hear a buzzer.
I don't remember what you're talking
about. Yeah, right.
Here we go. Question number four. You are now at game point. If you get this one right, you're going to win the game. If not, you got two more chances to get it right. This one and one more.
Hi.
Hi. All right. Listen carefully to this one. This one is making me squirm just reading it.
Oh.
A common torture technique back in the 1500s involved trapping live rats under a bowl on top of a person's stomach and then doing what? A, tapping on the bowl so the rats would go crazy. B, heating the bowl so the rats would try to eat their way out. C, strapping the bowl down so the rats can claw their way to freedom. Or D, smothering the rest of the body in cheese and then releasing the rats. What do you think is the correct torture technique, Hunter?
I tell you what, I do not know this from experience, so if there's an FBI investigator, this has nothing to do with this,
right.
But I think it's heating the bowl.
Heating the bowl so the rats try to eat their way out?
Yes, sir.
You're absolutely correct. That is a right answer. You, Hunter, are a winner.
He was very confident in that.
Yes, he was. You only missed one. What would you like?
What's the Baba Kusaw thing? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, are you kidding me? Haney and myself, with the help of Buddy Taylor from Gator Hammock, designed several years ago a Stan and Haney Baba Kusaw. That is a condiment that can be put on anything. You can dip French fries in it, put it on a burger, use it for barbecuing ribs or anything you want. You can put it on a hot dog like ketchup. It is spectacular, and we just got a new batch in.
Done deal.
All right, hold on. I'll send you over to Roger, and you can get yourself some Baba Kusaw.
All right,
Hunter. Hold on, buddy. Line one. Let's go find another person. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy, who's this?
This is John. Stan.
John, you want to play?
Ahoy,
buddy. Let's do it. Let's play,
ahoy,
John.
Ahoy, Haney, too. I want to say ahoy to Haney.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, here we go, John. Best three out of five. You can have two tries at each one, okay?
Sure.
Here we go, John.
All right.
South Americans are known for a dish named cuy, C-U-Y, which is prepared by cooking this common pet. Is it an iguana, a dog, a guinea pig, or a ferret? Cuy, C-U-Y.
I'm going to say guinea pig.
And you would be correct. It is, in fact, a guinea pig.
Oh.
There you go. One right. Yeah. Little cute little thing. All right, John, one right. Here we go. Got to get three right.
Mm-hmm.
These are all real and, disturbing. Women can be born with two vaginas.
Oh.
Which can also lead to this. A, being super hormonal during their periods.
Ooh.
B, the inability to orgasm.
C, getting pregnant in both wombs, or D, super loud queefs.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I can say queef.
I'm going to go with D.
That's incorrect. That is not. You get one more shot at it. Is it being super hormonal, inability to orgasm, or getting pregnant in both wombs?
I would have to say A.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
And I saw the story not too long ago
that they get pregnant.
Yep. In both wombs. Yeah.
Wow.
One right, one wrong. Here we go.
I just love how excited Haiti got, though.
About what? About two vaginas?
Yeah.
It happens, Junior, okay?
That's crazy.
Oh. It's not like he would go and do anything with the girl with you and do anything kind of like a devil threesome.
No, I wasn't, just because she had the double.
Please. We got a game to run, Junior. Please. Jeez.
Oh, John, here we go.
All right.
We're sorry, John.
We apologize for this. Although you got one right, one wrong. Here we go. In ancient tribes, a new king would do this with the remains of the previous king in order to take on his powers. Would he A, wear a ring made from the king's butthole? Would he bathe with the corpse? Would he eat the previous king's private parts?
Yeah.
Or would he sleep with the dead body?
Jeez.
So it's wear a butt ring, bathe with him, eat his manhood, or sleep with his dead body.
Bathe with him.
That is incorrect. So let's take that one off the board. This would be a butthole ring. Eat his privates, or sleep with his body.
I got to go with the sickest one is eat his private part.
You are correct.
What?
You are correct. Two right. One more right, and you're a winner.
All right.
Well, you can walk with pride.
What?
You're a big winner.
What?
Hold on. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This is this. And Haney and I know the answer to this because we were both extremely passionate about the space program and had family that worked in the space program.
Yes. Oh, no kidding.
But I don't know that the average person knows this, so I'm going to throw this to you, and this would be for the win. You got two more to go here, and you get one right, you're going to be a winner. Here we go.
All right.
If you were part of the moon landing in 1969 and you got stuck up there, NASA's plan for dealing with the situation was to what? A, send a rescue crew, which would take 3 months. B, shut off communications and let you die in silence. C, erase the entire mission from existence and pretend it didn't happen. Or D, produce fake footage of a safe return home, thus no public outcry. What would be the correct answer?
I think it's B. Yeah, they would just shut off communications
and let the crew die.
Die in peace. Yep.
You are absolutely correct. That was the plan, and they were all quite well aware of the fact that if they could not get them home, there would be no rescue. They would orbit and let them pass away in silence. And Haney and I have seen it, and I think it's been made public, the letter or the speech Nixon was going to give if they were not coming home. And it's pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
What would you like? I got Mighty Muscle tickets. I got Babacu Saw.
I want the shirt, baby.
Done.
I want the Stan and Haiti shirt.
Do you want to devalue it and have us sign it?
Most definitely, yeah.
All right, buddy. John, hold on. I'm going to send you over to Raj, okay?
All right, great talking to you guys.
Thank you, buddy. Hold on. Nice job. Anything you want to add? Now I've completed the game, so you can feel free to say something.
I like the idea of the butthole ring.
We're going to take
that's
a break.
What he got from that.
That's, yeah.
Thank you,
Jimmy. Oh, God.
And that's what you do with your predecessors. I mean, you're honoring them. Butthole ring.
Jeez. Boy. We're going to take a break.
What?
Just give me a wow.
Wow. Wow. Yep.
It's a shame. It is an absolute shame.
Butthole ring.
Shut up! Stan and Haney.
Jeez.
Yes! 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. What? It's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-ling, ting-a-ling-ing, as a bell ring, more. Amore. You're in love, and you know that you feel some more. To me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
America is on the go from Maine to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
With
Stan and Haney.
As a travel.
96 K-Rock.
You're in love.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Junior and Roger hanging out with us, too. That's what we do Monday through Friday. We just hang out and kill time.
Yep.
That's our job.
You're God.
You know, they ask you, and I've said this before many, many times.
Yeah.
Oh, Stan Haney, what do you guys do? You know, and then you go, doctor is saving lives.
Yeah, waste down.
You know, a roofer, you know, putting roofs, a construction person. We're professional time killers.
Yep.
And so we know from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, they lay
in a row.
You're in love. your job is to kill time. And we say, okay, we can manage that.
Yep.
We do it the rest of the day, too.
Yep.
So we may as well do 4 hours of it on the air.
Yep.
Let's, by the way, way back, coming in about 30 minutes, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. It is brought to you by our friends at Firehouse Subs, now 4 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. You know, I was thinking about this before we do the traffic. We haven't done it since you've come back, Junior. A little sit down of what would Junior do?
Oh,
and then we ask the question, and we have somebody predict what your answer will be.
Yeah, and then you'll doctor the tape again.
And then I don't think I ever doctored a tape.
Doctor?
Last time you made it sound like I masturbate to cartoons.
You sick bastard.
That's what you did. I said I don't masturbate to cartoons, but you doctored it to make it sound like I did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
I sat in there with you and Rick Peterson and I asked the questions. He put together the tape.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I can't help what you say and don't say.
Yep.
Did you doctor?
I didn't doctor any tape.
Junior, just stand by what you said. You don't have to make up.
Thank you, Raj. Just stand by. Live with it. And stop accusing people of doctoring and all that.
Misinformation.
Lehigh Acres got a crash. Homestead Road and Theodore Vale Street.
Come on.
Bonita. Crash. 11,000 block of Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And in North Naples, Collier County, crash. Immokalee Road and Palm River Boulevard. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, we'll have the news for you. And every day at this time, we have the headlines. And they are brought to you by Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Also open on weekends. Yeah, just live with it. Yeah. You did what you did.
Really?
So I did it one time.
Yeah.
Coming up.
You.
More than once. One that he'll admit to.
Yep.
Coming up.
All right, so I did it last weekend. Whatever.
Lois Griffin?
Lois Griffin?
No.
I'm just guessing.
So I have a Family Guy kink. Who cares?
Meg?
Hey, she's underrated.
Coming up in less than an hour, we will have some things for you you did not know. A homeless man went into Owen Wilson's house and put on his pajamas.
Wow.
It's true. We'll have the details for you in less than an hour.
Come on, babe.
And then he broke his own nose.
We told you earlier, the passing of Jim Brown. We'll remember some of his greatness. And, by the way, some of the movies he starred in. He was in more movies than you think he was in. You know, since the copyright laws to Peter Pan and Winnie the Pooh expired, all kinds of stuff have been coming out.
Oh, God.
Expect a new Winnie the Pooh and Peter Pan horror movie. It's on the way. Two movies, each of them horror movies, featuring Winnie the Pooh and Peter Pan.
Jeez. What?
Oh, yeah.
Why then?
Here's what I understand is that the names of Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan, that has expired. Now, the story and all that is because Disney wrote that stuff. They kind of went with the books and then put their own interpretation. They can't mess with that. But the Winnie the Pooh and Peter Pan, you can use those as characters now and do anything you want with them.
Oh.
You know? Winnie the Pooh takes on five. Stuff like that. Jeez.
Fighting, right?
Right, okay. Right.
Hey, hey.
Five in one night.
No, I saw that video last weekend, dude.
Somebody, Haney and I both know this because we were in radio throughout the 80s. It was a horrible, horrible decade for music. I'm sorry, it was.
Well.
They have, somebody who put this out. Time Out magazine. I'll tell you, I'd like to take that decade and make it a Time Out. They put together what they believe to be the 20 best songs of the 80s. I'm willing to bet they could find maybe 20 out of the entire decade. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You be the judge. I'll have the list for you in less than an hour. Every neighborhood deals with it. People that don't pick up their dog crap.
That's me.
Yeah, you know what? That's a shame. But take a guess. They went and did a survey. What cities, major cities, are the worst with leaving dog crap behind? Not surprising, Seattle and San Francisco. The filthiest there are.
San Francisco.
Thank you, Haney.
I think that goes for human waste, too, in those places. Yep.
Most Americans claim they don't wear shoes inside their home. I do. Do what? You? Do you, Junior?
No, I let those babies fly.
I mean, I take them off in there, but I walk through the front door. My shoes are on.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know, on the weekends, I have my sheepskin slippers.
Oh.
Wow. So comfortable. Yes. So comfy.
So cheap.
And finally.
Poor sheep.
And finally. Yeah, poor sheep. Lamb's wool. And finally. Captain Jack Sparrow tried to bite a cop. We'll have details. I don't think it was Johnny Depp. We'll have details in less than an hour on the news. Laughter. I mean, you have to laugh. It's important to laugh. That's why. Thank you. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Honey, I'm home. Oh, hold it. Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Oh, hi there. What is that, a sports bra?
What?
You all need to start treating me like a woman with worth.
Start acting like one, and then we'll start treating you like one. Jeez.
I do care more than you know.
Shut up.
Never
hey.
Never be a roller coaster.
Shut up.
Never be a roller coaster.
What?
Don't ever be a roller coaster.
Okay. AI is getting completely out of control. They say AI lawnmowers are coming up next. Gardeners now are no longer safe from AI. Jeez. Which makes me come up with today's list of the top ways to AI-proof your job.
Top ways to AI-proof your job.
I'd appreciate some help on the rim shots with what? This thing. You know instead of letting me sit out there hanging me out to dry, like I just delivered a heavy turd, which I did, but the rim shots help.
Oh,
top ways to AI-proof your job.
Okay.
Thank you, Haney. Make yourself indispensable in the office. That's right. Sleep with the boss. Well, you.
That didn't take long.
You know, let me tell you, some things that they just don't change. It don't matter. He can have a major catastrophic incident. It doesn't change. You know what you are? You can still be a jerk. You can still be a jerk.
Yeah, I can.
And he's proud.
Oh, sure he's proud of it.
Well, you said they're cross-armed all smug.
I'm telling you to shut up. And yes, he's arm folded, and that hasn't changed either. Yes, I am. let's see. Top ways to AI-proof your job. Work someplace where technology is forbidden, like, I don't know, Amish country, or where technology doesn't exist, like Arkansas.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Learn a skill that...
This is all wrong.
Well, let's shut up. Learn a skill that's impossible to automate. Unless the skill is juggling, then it's less sad to just be unemployable. It's still a beat late. It's still a beat late, jerky. Create, these aren't that great, I'm telling you right now, and I apologize, but create unique content that AI cannot replicate by doing your job on acid.
Oh, my God.
Get as fat as Junior.
Oh, screw you.
If AI does take your job, building security can't get you out of your cubicle.
Yep.
Yup. 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 Yup.
Yup. Yup.
What? What?
Work a job that doesn't require intelligence in the first place. That's what Junior does.
Yeah. Very Junior heavy today, huh?
Yeah, very Junior heavy. Yeah. After you start interrupting my games and stuff. And
yeah.
I have a last one here, but it's horrible.
No,
do you want me to do it?
Yeah,
okay.
Come on.
And finally,
come on.
Well, you aren't going to help me on the matter. Oh, come on. Well, duh. This is and finally the top way to AI proof your job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, duh. Ask AI how to AI proof your job. After all, it can't do anything much better than us. Oh, damn. That didn't help, did it?
Well, this whole place sucks.
30 years of blah, 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 blah. And where has that led us?
Oh, that was that ought to be one of the worst ones ever.
How smooth is butter?
Excuse me?
How smooth is butter?
Why don't you shut up? What?
It's your
what?
Problem today.
What? Yeah,
you are just so
he's
cranky.
He's asking you what? What? You're a problem.
What? Pipe down, jerky.
Oh, I can say that, not you.
I said,
I know. You know what? By saying that, you're a jerk.
I mean, you...
Yeah, I want you to hit him.
Yep.
Because he can't,
I don't want you to.
No, I want him to hit you. And then if you hit him back or do anything, oh, the publicity from that hitting a man who's had a stroke.
Poor me.
This is
Come on.
Yeah, bring it on. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Okay.
This is from our friend Chicken Man.
Oh.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, I cannot tell you how happy I am to hear your voice on the radio again. I was very worried about you. God bless you. Guys, for the first time in my life... It may be the first time in American history, I think... We are getting close to the point that America could actually fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Haney.
Yep.
It has always been said that America could only fall from within. And I think that is what's happening.
Yep.
There are many aspects to this, but one of them would be to really tank our economy. I mean, much worse than it already has. Which I think is part of the current debt ceiling crisis. We are already in so much debt. No one has any idea how to pay it, let alone the unbelievable interest on top of it. And yet I do not hear any public outcry anywhere. The Republicans only want to turn back the debt ceiling 5 months, and our president is willing to default over that because he wants to spend even more. He wants the ceiling even higher. If he defaults, do you think the economy is bad now? It'll be totally off the wall very quickly, and the stock market will fall. Right. Have a great day, everyone. God bless the United States of America from our buddy Chicken Man.
Wow.
It's a feel-good email.
Yeah.
This is a feel-good email. This is from Kathy, who I saw at Firehouse on Saturday.
Yeah.
Ahoy, Stan and Haney. What a great day at Firehouse Subs on Saturday. Good grub, and finally to meet half of the best radio team I have ever heard. Haney, my husband and I sure missed seeing you.
Oh, wow.
You are still in my prayers, and I know that by God's great healing, you will speak again. I know that you are both loved, and Stan, your bride is the sweetest, and what a beauty. Haney.
Hey.
So good to hear you back on the air. Stay on track. Keep fighting the good fight, and have faith, brother. You will win. Thanks again, Stan. Such a pleasure. We finally got a picture with you. You guys are the best. Signed, Kathy from Cape Coral.
Isn't that great. Nice? Yeah. Great.
Very lovely lady. Yes. Very lovely lady. And loves us. When we come back.
How do you, you're thinking, huh?
Thank you, Haney.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we come back.
I'm sorry.
When we come back, we'll go into the Wayback Machine. We'll tell you where we're going. We've got what was on the pop charts, the top 40 pop charts for this week in a particular year. We'll do that when we come back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
What a spot for a vacation. And this family's brought everything they need for a perfect one, including
Stan and Haney
in genuine top grain cowhide, which costs less than a tenth of a cent an hour to operate.
96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney show. Going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Then we're going to jump into the Wayback Machine, see what was on the Billboard charts for this very week in a particular year. Right smack dab in the middle. We'll go with 20 through 16 today. 30 minutes from now, we'll take a look at news for you. But first, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. It is brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 4 Lee County locations, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. You know, I see a lot of times it this junk in the road is up in Charlotte County.
Yeah.
debris in the road. There's a metal pole in the road. I-75 southbound after Tucker's Grade in Punta Gorda. Let's get it out of there. Let's get some truck to fix that. Fort Myers, crash, Metro Parkway and Fowler Street. Then we have a crash, Fort Myers, State Road 82 and Forum Boulevard. And then down in Collier County, crash, Peters Avenue and Tamiami Trail East. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update right before we do news. But right now, we do this every Monday. We take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this particular week in a particular year. Or this very week in a particular year. Let's find out where we're going. Again, right smack dab in the middle of top 40, 20 through 16. Where are we going? Where are we going?
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1977. Boy, that was a great year.
Remember, you heard it. I'll bet you dance to it.
And in May of 77, Elvis was still alive.
Now
let's live it up.
It's
again.
True.
With Stan and Haney. Number 20.
Joe Tex. Got some fun facts coming up with Raj and Junior, I'm sure. Sure were.
She was
brand the gold. That chick was brand the gold.
Yeah.
Then she did a dip. Almost broke my hip. She was getting down.
Right on. Right on.
All right.
I could have bumped
no. I told her no.
rock my van.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bump no more, no big fat woman.
Big fat woman.
What do you know?
Joe Tex used to play the baritone saxophone. And now back to the music.
What?
I know.
It was his first instrument.
What a shame. Man.
Let's let the music do the talking, fellas. Here's a fun fact. He don't want to bump no more with no big fat woman. That's the dancer.
Wow. Roger.
Did you know Joe Tex had a long-running rivalry with James Brown that originated sometime in the mid-1950s?
Really? I did not know that. This is all right.
Both artists were signed to Associated Imprints of King Records, and Brown reportedly called out Tex for a battle during a dance at a local juke joint.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait.
Right. Thanks for that one, Raj.
Back to you, Raj. Yeah, thank you.
Now let's let the music do the talk. No big fat woman.
This is a Grammy nominated song, but
darn right it is.
Even performed live on the Grammys in 78.
Yeah.
That had to make James Brown mad.
Yep.
Hit my hip. Knock me down.
Can't do the song nowadays. It's fat shaming.
It's true. That was the number 20 hit in the land in 1977, this very week. Joe Tex and Ain't Gonna Bump No More.
Mm-hmm.
With No Big Fat Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 19.
Oh, yeah.
A guy by the name of Alan O'Day.
Yep.
Undercover Angel.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
She softly said, "Thunder is your nightlight, magic is your dream."
Yeah.
And as I held her, she said,
"Ow.
See what I mean?" I said, "What?"
Yeah, we do. Yeah, all right.
Love me, undercover angel, midnight fantasy.
Where?
Love to me. Undercover angel, answer to my prayer. You made me know that there's a love for me out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Junior?
Let's just let the music do the talking on this one, boys.
Jeez. What? It's pathetic.
I'm giving up my heart,
Raj.
To you.
You know, Alan O'Day also wrote a number one hit for Helen Reddy.
Really? I'm Woman?
Angie Baby.
Oh.
That
was Angie Baby's was a good song.
Ooh-wee. Oh, wow. Why?
Did you know he co-wrote nearly 100 songs for the Muppet Babies?
What?
After his pop success, he moved on to Muppet Baby
song.
Well,
guy's got
to
work.
Love for me out there
somewhere.
Now you know my story.
I know it. Thanks for telling me.
Yep.
And he sounds just like who?
Rocky Balboa?
Yeah, see, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know. It's Alan O'Day.
Yeah.
He does a great Rocky Balboa.
I know he does. Midnight fantasy. I've never had a dream that meant sweet love to me.
Passed away 10 years ago last week.
Really?
After a battle with brain cancer.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. That's Alan O'Day. Yeah. Passed away last week after a battle with brain cancer.
10 years ago.
Or 10 years ago.
Oh, God.
Coming in at number 18, a band called Hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Angel in Your Arms.
Yep.
How many remember this one?
What's with all the angels?
Yeah, baby.
Do you think I'm such a fool to believe everything you say?
I remember this.
Yep.
That just goes to show.
Yeah.
That you really don't know.
No.
While you're out painting the town. Do you think I'm home just
sitting around? No, she ain't home sitting around.
Now who's really the fool?
Oh.
When I first found out,
I hit all over the room.
I felt so left out till I got to know her.
Yeah, till she got to know her.
So I tried the way that she got over. And I became
just like her. Thank you, Annie. Junior, can you contribute anything?
Yeah, the song is about a woman who knows her man is cheating on her. So what does she do? She cheats on him.
Right. Raj, please help me out here.
Well, based on the fact that it's about cheating, you shouldn't be surprised that it was covered by a country artist, Barbara Mandrell, in 1985.
Oh, great Barbara Mandrell.
All right, Gaydell.
Right, Haney.
Barbara Mandrell.
And you did it with a nice little country twang.
That was nice.
Appreciate that.
Very nice.
I'm having a hard enough time, and he's putting twang in.
I'm just a dirt. I'll be better
this morning.
The voice of an angel.
Devil in someone else's arms tonight.
Yes, the angel in your arms.
Yes, the angel in your arms this morning.
The undercover.
It's gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight.
Cheaters.
Yep. Well,
that was hot.
Yeah.
Angel in Your Arms, number 18. That was hot, man. That was their name, too. Angel in Your Arms, number 18. Coming in at number 17, something tells me this song went on to be number one.
Yep.
And it's one of our favorites. It's a band called the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
I do.
What? So into you.
I think that's what he said.
There was voodoo in it.
Voodoo. I was captured by a star.
Captured.
But I could not get you back. Now I stand here in the street, hoping you'll
get into me.
I am so into you.
I can't think of nothing else.
Thank you, Haney. Junior?
Yeah, did you know the Atlanta Rhythm Section is a bunch of liars? They actually formed in Doraville, Georgia. And now back to the music.
What?
Yeah, they formed in Doraville, so they've just been lying for years.
Right.
Yeah,
not Atlanta. I think that's a suburb.
It is a suburb, but still, be specific. So
Raj,
really, it's the Doraville Rhythm Section.
Well, the song did not go to number one, but it was the band's greatest hit.
How high did it go?
It spent 3 weeks in number seven.
Oh, okay. All right. Boo. It should have gone higher.
It did go higher in Canada, number two.
Oh, there we go. And I'm sure in the UK and Australia it did very well as well. Will you?
It's hard to get to number one when it's out the same time as Hotel California.
Oh, that's true. And you got to remember, Elvis was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
The king was still around.
Yeah.
He was still putting out stuff.
I was still.
Thank you.
Still, thank you, old.
Helplessly.
Yeah. Hoping you get into.
I went so into you.
Thank you, Annie.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. There you go. Atlanta rhythm
what?
Section.
The Doraville rhythm section.
Whatever.
Do you know? Never mind.
Finally, the last song that we're going to take a look at was the number 16 song in the land, Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
They're making a phone call to the doctor.
Yeah!
Thank you, Amy.
And even though I'm full of sin, in the end you let me in. You let me through this stuff and you can't.
Raj, we know so much about Kiss, but can you add something to this song?
Well, I was surprised to learn that Gene Simmons wrote this song at a Holiday Inn in Evansville, Indiana.
Right, because he was telling some chick he's Dr. Love. I'm Dr. Love.
But the song's title came from Simmons' recollection of a scene from a Three Stooges
film. That's a lie. He said, my name is Dr. Love, and I need to give you a series of hot beef injections.
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Love.
I'm the doctor.
And we'll start the procedure right now. Junior, what can you add?
Well, the band's logo had to be altered in some countries. Apparently the S's are in the same font that the Nazis used.
Yeah.
So they had to change some things up in some countries.
And now let the music do
that. Yeah, let's let the music do.
So, I'm certainly done there.
Yes.
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 Mm.
The number one song in the land this week in 1977 was Stevie Wonder and Sir Duke from the album Songs in the Key of Life. Absolute Law text line. It's up to Haney, Tim. Ahoy, can we have Haney do an I'm sorry regarding a disabled vehicle during traffic for old time's sake? Just say I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Haney. We'll be back. We got the news next. 96 K-Rock.
What's the matter, Sam? Why all the gloom?
Oh, I just got a load of bad news. Things haven't been going so good lately. Rotten programs and very bad announcers. The big boss was here, and he gave me a month to put this station on paying basis. Or we're through.
Your worries are over. You're looking at the best radio announcer that ever pushed a verb through a microphone.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us Monday afternoon. Many of you, you clock watchers out there, know that it's just past 5 o'clock. You're on the road. You're heading home. Calling it a day. Monday under your belt. But, of course, you need to find out how bad is it out there. Well, I'm about ready to tell you. And traffic is brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 4 Lee County locations, Fort Myers, in Cape Coral. Cape Coral. All right, we will start in Port Charlotte. Injuries and blockage following a crash, Veterans Boulevard in Yorkshire Street. Again, that's in Port Charlotte. Fort Myers, crash, Cleveland Avenue and Airport Road. Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, Daniels Parkway and US 41. And one more for you, it's Fort Myers, crash, I-75 northbound, Alico Road. But of course,
you don't say.
And you are up to date. Have another traffic update for you in about 25, 30 minutes. News is brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now. Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, May 22nd, double M, double X, triple I. Sitting in for Mark Haney, my name is Stan. Hi.
What up, big pimp?
Right on. Here are some things you didn't know. I didn't know this. You see, I'm a firm believer that mammals such as the elephant and dolphins and killer whales are as smart, if not smarter, than us.
Especially those orcas.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk about dolphins right now. Dolphins can put one side of their brain to sleep as they swim, while the other side of the brain remains alert. And they can then switch, putting the other side to sleep. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's the king of pop or was just a irritant, Michael Jackson. There's no doubt that the album Thriller is one of the greatest albums of all time, at least in sales and hits. But Thriller was not the original name for the album.
What was it?
Midnight Man.
Glad they changed it.
Yeah. You ever get into Johnny Rockets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We used to have one here over at the Bell Tower until that closed down.
They had a roach problem.
You still see it? Did they?
Oh, yeah. Pretty bad.
In that one, really?
Yeah.
How do you know? Did you work there?
No, we used to go there all the time after school. Yeah. Or no, not after school. Like when we went to the movies on the weekends when I was a kid.
Johnny Rockets is named after Johnny Appleseed and the Oldsmobile Rocket 88. Why? Well, because the founder felt those were two things that embodied the classic Americana. And that's what he was, that was the vibe he was looking for.
Right on.
A lot of people associate Tim Burton with The Nightmare Before Christmas. However, he did not direct that movie. He was just the producer. A guy by the name of Henry Selick was the one that actually directed A Nightmare Before Christmas. And the praying mantis is the only insect that can turn its head and look over its shoulder. The rest, they got a fixed head. A praying mantis can turn that head around, look over his shoulder.
Yeah, and they're brutal.
What do you mean they're brutal?
I just saw a video on Facebook of
they're
a praying mantis eating this moth alive, starting at the head.
Yeah, they're very, I remember as a kid, I'd capture in my little creature container there. You'd capture a praying mantis.
Yeah, and then you'd throw another bug in there and watch them just.
That's what they did.
Torture these other insects.
Always fun. Here's a little showbiz blurbs for you. If it interests you. There's plenty of places where you can look up and find the whole story. I'm just giving you little teasers to perk your interest. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are trying to make their relationship work.
Good. I was worried.
But sources say MGK is still in the doghouse. Magician David Copperfield says he posts fake videos online to confuse people who think they've figured out his tricks.
Mm.
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Pete Seeger in the Bob Dylan biopic that is being filmed.
What?
Weird choice.
Yeah. He's a good actor, though.
Yeah.
Sad news, bassist Andy Rourke from the Smiths passed away after a battle with pancreatic cancer. He was 59. A guitar Kurt Cobain destroyed on stage sold for $595,000.
Whoa.
It was also signed by all three members of Nirvana. And in related news, some of Tom Petty's wardrobe is hitting the auction block. Paul Simon, the smart writing half of Simon and Garfunkel, suddenly lost most of his hearing in his left ear, and nobody can explain why.
Really?
Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship yesterday. He plays on the LIV Tour, and that doesn't make PGA people happy. But everyone's talking about Michael Block, the 46-year-old club pro who teaches golf at a public golf course in California. He had to qualify for the tournament. He finished 15th. And capped it off with a hole-in-one yesterday. Amazing story. And he qualifies for next year's PGA. And he was invited to play next week at Colonial. Did I mention, though, that this club pro who teaches golf in California just by playing in that tournament and finishing 15th also pocketed $288,000?
Oh, my God. I should have stayed away from radio and started golfing.
Oh, God. A homeless man got into Owen Wilson's house in Santa Monica last Tuesday night, rummaged around for a while, and ended up in a pair of his pajamas.
The Butterscotch Stallions?
Yes, sir. Owen wasn't home at the time, but his assistant came home while the intruder was still there, so he took off. Santa Monica police found him in a neighbor's yard and booked him for felony burglary. Apparently, he didn't take anything else. And police don't think he even knew whose house he was in. Owen had an issue at his house last summer when he parked his Tesla on the street outside and somebody stole the tires and rims. Right on.
Do you think Owen walked into the house and he was just like, oh, wow.
No. Told you he wasn't home. We played one of a few interviews we had with Jim Brown to start this show off, and we told you about him on Friday passing away and more about him today, but I'm going to mention a few more things about Jim Brown. Jim Brown was an amazing athlete. And again, a lot of people think, oh, football player. He was an All-American lacrosse player at Syracuse. They say that was his sport. You don't hear the phrase Cleveland Browns legend very often. Well, Lou the Toe Groza. But it didn't fit anyone better than Jim Brown. In fact, he may have been one of the greatest players in NFL history. There's no doubt there. He passed away on Thursday of natural causes. He was 87 years old. What a full life. Jim played 9 years in the National Football League. Tough years. 1957 to 1965, all with the Browns. He played 9 seasons and won 8 league rushing titles, 3 MVPs, and never missed a game due to injury. He also had a long, successful acting career in the movies. The first movie that he was in, which caused him to eventually leave the Cleveland Browns, was The Dirty Dozen, which he was great in. Lee Marvin vehicle. Other movies that Jim Brown starred in: Ice Station Zebra, Slaughter, 3 The Hard Way. Those were in the 60s and 70s. When he moved into the 80s and 90s, he was in Running Man, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka, Mars Attacks, He Got Game, and Any Given Sunday. His last movie was 2014's Draft Day with Kevin Costner. He was a superstar. No two ways about it, a superstar. We will have more news in a moment. In other news, told you about this. Certain characters are in the public domain now, and you can do anything you want with them.
I love that.
This whole using the public domain characters to make horror movies trend is apparently here to stay, because there are two more in the works. One of them is yet another Winnie the Pooh movie. But it's not a sequel to Blood and Honey. It's a totally unrelated project. It's called, geez, I can't believe I'm saying this, It's called Winnie the Pooh Death House. Isn't that great?
You don't want to go to the 100-acre wood now.
Death House.
You might come out of theater retirement for that one, huh, Steve? Wow.
Yeah, I might. Well, no, I'll wait till it's on demand.
Yeah.
Death Which, House. Incidentally, I've seen now at home, Cocaine Bear's on demand.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
I know. I won't rent it. No, too traumatic. Winnie the Pooh Death House is described as a cross between The Strangers and The Purge.
Oh, God. Oh, bother.
Right. The other one, because it's in the public domain, Peter Pan Goes to Hell.
Oh, I bet Captain Hook is going to be terrifying.
Well, it's a slasher movie in the vein of Psycho and the lesser-known 1981 flick, Nightmares in a Damaged Brain. Again, it's called Peter Pan Goes to Hell.
Woo! I just read they're going to be doing a Cinderella, too.
Right on. Yeah.
Cinderella and the Death Slipper.
Oh. That was so bad.
The Sorry, Death Slipper.
Right. Cinderella and the Glass Steely Dan.
Oh, no.
That's another genre.
Yeah, Prince Charming went like that.
So sick. The 80s was a horrible time for music. I'm going to be, and oh, how can you say that, Stan? There was some great music. Yeah, okay. Haney and I worked radio in the 80s. The music sucked. But there was some good, in any decade, some good music comes out.
Some diamonds in the rough.
Yeah. Time Out magazine ranked the 60 best songs of the 80s. Boy, how could they come up with that many? I got the 20 of them. Let's go from 20 and up. Number 20, Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Yeah.
Number 19, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Tears for Fears. No, thank you. How Soon Is Now, The Smiths.
Too depressing.
Love Will Tear Us Apart, Joy Division. What's Love Got to Do with It, Tina Turner.
No.
Number 16, I Didn't Mind Her. Number 15, Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark. Yes, okay. Number 14, Free Fallin', Tom Petty. Okay. 13, Sexual Healing, Marvin Gaye. Okay. Number 12, Close to Me, The Cure. Number 11, This Must Be the Place, Talking Heads.
Yes.
Coming in, here's your top 10. The Message, Grandmaster Flash, and The Furious Five. Modern Love, David Bowie. Even David Bowie didn't like that.
Is China Doll on there?
No.
What about Cyndi Lauper?
Why, you son... No. You know what? Cyndi Lauper in the 80s, she went on to do a lot of other stuff, jazz and blues stuff. She has a tremendous voice. Number 9. Cloud Busting by Kate Bush. No. Express Yourself, Madonna. No. Fight the Power! Public Enemy.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Straight Outta Compton, N.W.A.
Yes, yeah, now dude. We're talking.
Number 4, I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston. Number 3, Beat It, Michael Jackson. Number 2, Blue Monday, New Order. Number 1, okay, if you want to use this song, there's others. Purple Rain, Prince.
It's a good one.
Prince was great.
Not a bad list, to be quite honest.
Wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
You can find a fistful. You know, it's not Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now.
Masterpiece.
The two worst parts of walking around your neighborhood, and admit it, it's true, are having to constantly dodge chatty neighbors and dog poop. Someone analyzed complaints about pet owners on social media, mapped them, and ranked them based on other factors like population density. They found that the worst city for people not cleaning up after their dog, two of the biggest lib cities there are, Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco, California, you slobs.
They don't pick up human waste around there, let alone dog.
And that's one, number two, number one, and vomit. And I'll add a third, sperm.
Ew.
Oh.
That's true.
What's going on in the streets of Seattle?
And San Francisco, you name it, it's going on there.
Yep.
Well, oh boy.
But you go, that's your people, Junior. Go up there and live up there.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, I want you to go. Now.
God, you're so bitter.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to do the news. Pittsburgh is third, by the way. The complaints weren't just about poop. Cleveland is the worst city for dogs barking at night. Houston is next, followed by Louisville. Newark, New Jersey is the worst for dogs off their leash in public. Arlington, Texas is second, followed by Long Beach, California. There are two types of homes. The ones where people wear shoes inside for comfort, convenience, and to reduce the clutter by the doors, and the ones where people don't wear shoes inside because it's gross. A new poll, 63% of Americans say they take their shoes off inside, while 37% do wear shoes inside. I wear my shoes inside. I walk in through the front door, and I'll walk around, and then maybe when I finish up and sit down in the recliner for the evening, I'll take my shoes off, put them in by underneath the end table. What about you, Raj?
You know what? Pretty much the first thing I do when I get home is I remove my shoes and my pants.
Right.
That's
on,
a
dude.
Little bit too much information.
Well, just to change into my lounge shorts.
Oh.
I'll one-up him and say I take off all my clothes and my shoes.
What does your roommate think of that?
Well, she's been
vocal
about it, you know.
She.
Yeah, she's been vocal about it, but,
you know. What are you doing, Junior, in the common room? I'm taking my air bath.
Yeah, and I usually take videos, too.
In case she misses the live show.
Oh, yeah.
They say, however, 76% are not willing to ask their guests to remove their shoes, including 67% of the group who don't wear shoes inside themselves. Whoop-dee-ding-dong-day.
Yeah, I tell everyone to take their shoes off at my house so I can take a good look at those, those little toes.
Well, you
just because you want to see your guest's toes.
You know what he's got a thing for? Toe fungus.
What if they have... Do you actually make them take off their socks, too?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Finally, we're pretty sure this wasn't Johnny Depp, but then again, you never know. A 43-year-old man identified himself as Captain Jack Sparrow after he was arrested in Portland, Oregon last week after trying to bite a cop. Oh, more of your people there, Junior, up in Portland.
They have nice feet.
He... boarded a commuter train on Wednesday night dressed as Johnny Depp's character from Pirates of the Caribbean. He was apparently harassing other people on the train. Workers tried to kick him off, but he wouldn't leave, so they called the cops. Cops say he tried to bite an officer while they were removing him from the train. He's facing charges for trespassing, menacing, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and interfering with public transportation. He told the cops he's 43 years old, but even after they got him to jail, he wouldn't give them his real name. So they had to book him as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Jeez. Captain Jack will get
And that's the news for today, Monday, May 22nd, Double M, Double X, Triple I. Sitting in for Mark Haney, my name is Stan. Hi.
What up, big dog?
News brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. We're going to take a break. We will be back. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney Show, thank you so much for spending your Monday afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. We got time to check traffic one more time for you. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 4 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, in Alva, the beautiful area of Alva, named after the flower, not Thomas Edison. Crash, Palm Beach Boulevard and River Hall Parkway. Fort Myers, crash, Kenwood Lane and US 41. And then we got a crash, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway and Treeline Avenue. Collier County, crash, exit 101, I-75 northbound on-ramp. And you are up to date.
I had my way.
the late, great Bob Welch. Classic comedy brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
My old lady called Jim Brown up. She said, Jim, gonna come over and talk to you. I'll show Jim Brown. I'm the man. Nobody afraid of Jim Brown here. And Jim was coming in the driveway. I got all nervous. Boom, jingling. Where's it? Jim Brown. Oh, ain't gonna scare me. Let me get my pipe. Pipe said, come on, Rich. Me and you will show Jim. Don't worry about it. Jim come in the room, I start smoking. Hey, Jim. And Jim had psychology. Jim go, wanna go roller skating? Maybe you wanna go for a ride. Jim said, what you gonna do? I said, what do you mean? What you gonna do? Well, I'm doing what I wanna do. You gonna get well or you're going to end our friendship. What you going to do? The pipe said, don't listen. What you going to do? So Jim almost got me to the hospital, but he had to go home to eat. And I was in the room with the pipe, and the pipe said, hey, Rich, Jim's gone.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. I witnessed it. And other people were in complete disgust.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about Saturday.
Oh, so you automatically know what I'm going to be talking about, don't you? You automatically know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hold on. Rod, you well, gotta, oh, Rod, Haney, you gotta hear this.
Hey,
he came to see me on Saturday at Fire.
God.
That was okay, nice of you. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice of me. Thank you, Rod. You're welcome.
Oh, I didn't need you there. It would have saved a lot of headaches.
Oh, God.
So, he shows up. Now, the first thing that he says to me is, where do I go to get a free sub?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Hold on. What?
I made a guest appearance. I wanted a free sub.
So, I said, I'm not the owner of the place. Now, our salesperson, Don Holloman, is inside. I said, right, and that's the way he was the whole day. So he goes inside. Now, Junior knows Robert Holloman, but Robert Holloman does, because he doesn't pay attention, he's got the attention span of a gnat, he doesn't know that Junior has been with us for about 4 years now.
Going on five, yeah.
And so Junior walks into Firehouse Subs, walks up to Robert Holloman and says, I would like free food, please, which is a bad thing to say to begin with. And then Robert, our salesperson, looks at him and says, who the F are you?
He had no clue who I was. I said, hey, man, it's me, Junior, from the Stan and Haney Show.
So,
and he said, who?
So, I'm going to tell you.
He's.
So, follow me on this one. Because, all right. So, Robert, our sales guy, gets with Dan from Firehouse, who was great, and gets Junior a big foot-long sub of his choice. Yeah. It was one of the big ones. And so, as Junior comes out with his free sandwich.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
My wife, D-Train was there, his wife, his daughter, a few other listeners. He's doing very well. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And Hollywood's treating him well.
And so they're all looking at this, and he's, you know, he's eating away.
Yeah.
And
that's what you do when you get food.
When the remote was over with.
Mm-hmm.
Two people, I will not say who, one of them I live with, said to me, did Junior really come up to the remote and want free food? Because we're offered free food.
Yes.
But we said thank you, no.
Yes.
He took it. And so two people, one of whom I live with, said
Sue,
I cohabitate.
Okay.
I've taken vows. said to me, did he really make them at Firehouse give him free food?
Yeah.
Or was that just a joke? I said, oh, no, that was no joke.
Oh, I don't joke.
He came expecting free food and somebody was going to give him free food.
Yeah.
And one of the two people that I don't cohabitate with said, you've got to be kidding me. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh.
Oh, well. We vibrate at different frequencies, bro.
You hear this? Do you hear this?
Wow.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
You know what?
It was a long drive.
Because
man.
Guess what?
I was hungry.
I'm speechless. That's all I can say.
You're speechless, but you keep talking.
I'm speechless.
All right.
Now, about you over the weekend, let me bring up what happened to him.
Do you want to hear
this? Don't worry. I'm not.
Hand wringing.
Just, it's unbelievable. You're like a walking, it's like an albatross. It's like a monkey on my back. It's like a heroin addiction. You're just a monkey on my back.
Don't bring up addictions around, Rob.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Blue skies.
Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.